It's time for The Bright Side, a coaching radio show for changemakers, the organizations and positive leaders creating positive change in the world. The Bright Side is sponsored by PLINK Leadership. PLINK Leadership has one big goal, to accelerate positive change. It's all based on fusing the sciences of human nature with the discipline of leadership to transform the world of work, or as we call it, accelerating positive change in a big way. And now as your host, Alexis Robin, COO and co-founder of PLINK Leadership, I'm here to bring you 10 minutes of insight, theory, and actionable tips to support you on your journey to becoming the best version of yourself. It's time for The Bright Side. I'm Alexis Robin, and today I want to talk to you about checking in with your team during uncertain times and tough times. And certainly, there's a lot going on in the world right now that can make it hard to look on the bright side. And so we want to talk about today how to talk about that with your team, how to check in and just find out where the people in your life, in your work, and in your circles are at. I wanted to open up with a quote by Brené Brown that comes from the Dare to Lead training materials that we teach at PLINK Leadership, or we facilitate. And the quote is that leaders must either invest a reasonable amount of time attending to fears and feelings or squander an unreasonable amount of time trying to manage ineffective and unproductive behavior. So I'll say that one more time. Leaders must either invest a reasonable amount of time attending to fears and feelings or squander an unreasonable amount of time trying to manage ineffective and unproductive behavior. And that's by Brené Brown from her book, Dare to Lead. And this quote really is as true for the team that you manage or that you're on at work as it is for the team that you lead at home, whether that be your family, whether that be a group of roommates that you live with, the circle of friends that you roll in. It is so important for us to be attending to people's fears and feelings, especially when there's a lot going on in the world. We've got a lot of that right now. It's really our responsibility to stay connected to people and how they're doing. So why do we need to do this? First of all, to gain an understanding, a simple understanding of where people are at that are in your lives, and then to be able to offer support and empathy. Empathy is one of the great ways that we stay connected to people, that we can really help support people without having to jump in and fix their problems. And the other reason why is that often when people start to feel big emotions, specifically big negative emotions, they can often mask those by either getting angry or shutting down. And both of those behaviors, getting angry and shutting down, tend to push people away and tend to isolate the individual. And so when you see somebody in your life or on your team that's a peer, that is a direct report, getting angry or shutting down, it's really a signal that we need to move closer and get curious versus a signal that we need to stay away. A lot of leaders that I coach will ask, well, how do you do this? You know, I don't even know where to start with this, or what's the best way to say it? And if you start with, how are you? You know, if you just sit down with somebody and say, how are you? You may get an honest answer, but most of the time you're probably going to get somebody who says, I'm fine. And you might read a lot more from that fine in their body language and their tone that says, huh, I'm not so sure you're fine. There's a couple other ways to go about this. And the first I really like is to ask the question, what are you feeling hopeful about? And then also, where are you experiencing uncertainty? And this gives people an opportunity to both share what's going okay, what they're feeling hopeful about, what they're potentially excited about or looking forward to. And it also gives them an opportunity to share where they have some uncertainty, where things aren't going well, where they might have some fears or feelings that need to be attended to without having to come right out and say, I'm afraid of this, or I am upset about that. Just being able to say, I'm uncertain about what's going to happen with the economy after this pandemic, or I'm uncertain about what's going to go on with the riots that are happening across the country. And I'm feeling nervous about that, or however they're feeling about that. So being able to share that really can help kind of open up that conversation in a way that's neither negative or positive, and that creates space for people to share what they're hopeful for and what they're uncertain about. Another way to do this is to ask somebody to name what three emotions they've been feeling this week, or what are three emotions they've been feeling this week. This will be easier for people who have more emotional literacy and can name their emotions with more specificity, but it's often, for many folks, one of the first times that they'll be thinking about what emotions they're feeling. I know that I can get through an entire week, and if somebody asked me that question, I might have to stop and pause and think, like, how am I feeling right now? I don't know. I haven't checked in. I've been so busy working or attending to other people or buzzing around that I'm not sure. So checking in and asking for three emotions, it also allows people to share both good and bad. I might be feeling nervous and uncertain and hopeful at the same time. I might be feeling inspired and just down at the same time. So we can have the duality of multiple emotions. We're often not always feeling one way or another. So being able to kind of go into the conversation with that direction. And then when they start answering using that great question, and what else, and letting the silence and the space do the heavy lifting, creating that space for people to reflect on the question you've asked and think about it and answer, also creating the space for them to add to their answer. So we often will come up kind of with the first thing, oh, I'm feeling a little uncertain. And you might say, and what else? And then that question might help us to dig a little deeper and to get to anything else we might be thinking or feeling. So really getting comfortable with that, letting the space and the silence do that heavy lifting for you, not getting all freaked out because you feel vulnerable and filling the space with your own feelings or what you think they're feeling or what they should be feeling. Just staying in that space of silence and creating that space for them is great. And then once they share with you, often people say, okay, now what do I do? Like, they share that things are hard for them, or they're upset, or they're grieving, or they're worried, or they're experiencing anxiety. Like, what do I do with that? I'm not a psychologist. We don't have to be psychologists in order to empathize with people. We just need to get in touch with a time when we have felt a similar emotion. And most all of us have felt some sort of grief, some sort of loss, some sort of anxiety, fear, uncertainty in our lifetime, maybe not the same experience, but certainly the same emotion. And so being able to just practice that empathy, a few of the phrases that we like to use at PLINK for empathizing with people are, I'm not sure what to say, but I'm so glad you told me. Also, wow, it sounds like it's a really tough time right now. I have also felt that way before, and so I'm here with you. So being able to just let them know they're not alone and that you're there with them is really helpful. You can also ask, if somebody shares something tough with you, what does support look like? This can be true as well. If somebody shares something exciting with you, you know, oh, I'm excited about this project I'm working on. I'm feeling really passionate about this article I'm writing. Great. What does support look like? Versus where many of us as leaders, as parents, as friends, as family members, we try to dive in and fix things for people. We want to dive in and say, okay, well, let me fix this. Or, oh, I can connect you with somebody. Or, oh, I'll do this. Really the question, what does support look like, allows the person that you're talking to share with you what they need and what they want, and to be able to set some boundaries around what they want. It takes the burden off of us from having to jump in and fix something when maybe that's not what they needed or wanted at all. So practicing that empathy and asking what support looks like. It's possible. Sometimes I ask people, what does support look like? And the answer is, I don't know. And that's okay too. To just make sure in those moments that you leave the door open for them to come back when they do know what support looks like is very helpful. A lot of folks right now are dealing with tough and big emotions by bottling them up, by numbing them with all kinds of activities like binging Netflix or spending a lot of time having wine after dinner or shopping online or working. And those can all be ways that we try to avoid hard emotions. So if somebody doesn't know what support looks like, if they aren't able to tell you right away, that's okay. Let them know that you'll be here when they figure it out. And so you invite them to come back. So this week, I'd like to encourage you to do three check-ins. I invite you to first check in with yourself. Ask yourself the same questions. What are three emotions I've been feeling? What am I hopeful about? Where is there uncertainty? The second is to check in with somebody in your personal circle, This could be a best friend, your partner. It could be somebody in your family. It could be your kids, your spouse, your mom, your dad, your sister. Just check in with someone in that personal circle. Find out how they're doing. And then the third would be in your organization, in your role as a leader, whether you're an individual contributor and you're leading by example and modeling behaviors that you want to see in other leaders, or whether you have a large team, be sure to be checking in with a direct report or a peer or even your boss. Oftentimes we think that our senior leadership team has it all together and people don't ask them how they're doing. Being able to check in and say, hey, like, how are you doing? How's everything going? What does support look like from me as your direct report can also be helpful. The important thing is connection. So when we can connect with people by checking in, we deepen our connection to them as a friend, as a colleague, as a boss, a mentor, as a family member. And so I just invite you to think about who you could check in with this week and be sure your own personal name's on that list so that you have a chance to explore what's going on for you. I hope you have a great week. Stay in the light, stay hopeful, and continue to model the positive leadership and the positive behaviors that you hope to see more of in the world. Thanks so much for tuning in. If you like the show, please share it with a friend and please subscribe or review us on iTunes.